This is LBC News.
12:43 right now. Let's get an update on the latest news from the United States this Tuesday lunchtime. LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks joins me live. And Simon, day two of that trial of a former police officer charged with the murder of George Floyd, due to get underway shortly.
Yes, absolutely. And day one ended with a bit of drama. I mean, the entire day was packed with drama, frankly, John, but it ended with drama as the prosecution questioned its third witness of the day, Donald Williams. He was a martial arts fighter and described himself as an entrepreneur who just happened to be walking in the vicinity of the location where police were trying to arrest George Floyd. And he's one of the onlookers that you can hear in that cell phone video that went viral, remonstrating with Officer Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer charged with second degree and third degree murder charges in regards to the killing of George Floyd. He's the police officer, of course, who had his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck for fully 9 minutes, as the jury was shown in that 9.5 minute piece of viral video yesterday. Mr. Williams described attempts that he and another woman at the scene, a first responder who also happened to be there, the efforts they made to draw attention to the fact that, as they put it, life was simply draining away from Mr. Floyd.
You do need to check his pulse. Oh, he is not moving, like, oh, you just killed this man, you know? And so her expertise was like, look, he's fading away. You need to check his pulse. She's asking him multiple times. I'm asking him multiple times. No one checked his pulse.
That, coupled with that 9 minute piece of video that was shown to the jury at the beginning of the day, added up to a pretty devastating presentation by the prosecution. But the defense insists that this case is about a lot more than simply one piece of videotape. They point to the complexity of the investigation into Mr. Floyd's death. They point out that 400 witnesses were interviewed, and they made it absolutely clear that, in their arguments over the next several weeks as this trial continues, they are going to focus not on the police conduct that day last May, but on George Floyd's conduct. Here's the lead defense lawyer, Eric Nelson.
The evidence will show that when confronted by police, Mr. Floyd put drugs in his mouth in an effort to conceal them from the police. You will see surveillance videos near Squad 320 from a local business called the Dragon Walk that capture the actions and reactions of all of everyone present at that location, including evidence of further concealment of controlled substances.
Now, lawyers for Mr. Floyd's family predicted going into this trial that the defense team would engage in what they referred to as character assassination. And it is worth pointing out that prosecutors certainly tried to take the sting out of those claims in their presentation yesterday by insisting that while George Floyd was indeed an opioid addict, there is no evidence to suggest that his addiction to opioids led to his death. But it's absolutely evident that as this trial goes on, and we think it's going to take about a month to get to a verdict, that the defense is going to go after all the toxicology reports and the post-mortem results and really heavily dig into those in a bid to suggest to the jury that George Floyd is the person responsible for George Floyd's death, not former police officer Derek Chauvin.
Now, some fairly gloomy predictions have been made by the head of the CDC, a senior health official in the US.
Yeah, and by President Joe Biden reacting to what Dr. Rochelle Walensky, the new head of the Centers for Disease Control, had to say yesterday. And just to put all of this into context, I mean, there is a sense of whiplash here, because 2 weeks ago, you'll remember that Joe Biden was telling Americans the end was in sight, and that if everybody just did what they're supposed to do, Americans could be celebrating July the 4th with a big Independence Day barbecue with their families and immediate friends. Now, the head of the CDC yesterday, Dr. Walensky, making a very different presentation.
I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script and I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom. We have so much to look forward to, so much promise and potential of where we are, and so much reason for hope. But right now, I'm scared.
Impending doom. She's scared, she says, as she watches coronavirus cases increase in more than half of America's 50 states. The virus once again seems to be on a relentless march here. She compared the trajectory that America is currently on to the trajectory that we're witnessing in many EU countries. And President Biden then took to the podium at the White House to slam those Americans who are not observing social distancing, not wearing face masks, and are currently participating in the annual spring break holiday, descending on beaches in Florida and other southern locations, many of them youngsters, many of them absolutely oblivious to the threat posed by COVID-19 and the new variants.
Because we're in the life and death race with the virus that is spreading quickly, with cases rising again, new variants are spreading, and sadly, some of the reckless behavior we've seen on television over the past few weeks means that more new cases are to come in the weeks ahead. With vaccines, there's hope, but people are letting up on precautions, which is a very bad thing.
Of course, many of those people never really observed the precautions in the first place. And to be fair to the spring break revelers descending on the beaches of Florida, at no point 3 weeks ago did President Biden tell them expressly to abandon their plans to go and frolic on the nation's beaches. But it's absolutely clear that the minds of American government leaders now are very focused on the rising number of cases here, despite the vaccine rollout. And there was no suggestion from President Biden yesterday that come July the 4th, we can all get the hamburgers out of the deep freeze.
And Ghislaine Maxwell's legal woes have deepened somewhat, Simon.
Yes, absolutely. New charges were filed yesterday against Ghislaine Maxwell, who, of course, is the former girlfriend and associate of now deceased and convicted pedophile financier Jeffrey Epstein. She is now facing two new charges relating to recruiting an underage girl for sex with Jeffrey Epstein. And these took place in the period between 2001 and 2004. And all of this is relevant for a couple of different reasons. First of all, the charges that Ms. Maxwell so far had faced ranged in dates up to the year 1997. And as part of her legal defense, her lawyers had pointed out that there'd been absolutely no suggestion of any impropriety on her part after that period. And of course, they were denying the charges relating to that earlier period. Now, prosecutors going after her on charges that suggest that she was, they claim, allegedly trafficking in young girls for Jeffrey Epstein as recently as 16, 17 years ago. And that's going to pose definitely more complexity for her legal defense. It's also not exactly clear why this happened yesterday. Why is this happening now? Have there been some kind of behind-the-scenes conversations with Ghislaine Maxwell that have in some fashion failed to make any progress, and so prosecutors are trying to put fresh pressure on her? Very unclear what's happening behind the scenes, but definitely her legal path has just become a lot more complicated.
LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks, thank you very much for that. We'll check in with today's business headlines on the way.
This is LBC News.